The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long in studio. I want to tell everybody at 520, Mark Schlereff covers the NFL. A man does a great job on Fox. Also has his television show in the morning. He'll be on with us at 520 and at 540. Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points. Hope he don't give us no more bad news. I don't know where that would come from. So we'll have those on. And at 7 o'clock tonight, it'll be the Saints Hour with Mike Hoss and Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And their guest tonight will be Jari Evans, who's going into the Ring of Honor for the Saints this coming Sunday, and former Saints quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, who's now a coach in the high school ranks in Florida. Charlie, you and I haven't talked about this a lot, but boy, there's a lot of talk certainly out in the Northeast of where Juan Soto is going to end up. And I think most people feel Yankees or Mets would be the two choices for him. Now, if he ends up with the Dodgers, Charlie, I'm about to give you oxygen, so to speak.
I'll pass out in the studio.
But it looks as though right now Mets, Yankees are bidding, have got a lot of money on the table for Soto.
I wouldn't rule out some of those teams on the West Coast, though, Mike, like potentially the Dodgers. Giants? Maybe the Giants. Like, the Giants were reportedly in on Aaron Judge before Judge decided to stay in New York, so I mean, maybe they could throw some big money at him, but Mike, it is going to be gigantic money that Juan Soto is going to fetch. And all the talk about free agency this upcoming offseason, or we're in the offseason right now, is that if you're looking at the top free agents, it's Juan Soto and then like everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Corbin Burns is a really strong starting pitcher that's going to get some nice money in the offseason. This kid, Roki Sasaki, I think is how you pronounce his name, from Japan. He's like 23 years old, and he's making the jump over to the U.S. He's going to be playing in the MLB. He's going to get some big money as well, probably kind of similar to what happened with Yoshinobu Yamamoto with the Dodgers this past offseason. But also, like, Blake Snell, Alex Bregman.
Would you be shocked if he didn't sign with the Dodgers?
I would be pretty shocked.
Because that's where he's headed.
I think that's where he's going to be heading. But also, like, Blake Snell and Alex Bregman, like, there's some good kind of top-of-the-line free agents, but no one's Juan Soto. I mean, this is a 26-year-old that is already on his track to be a Hall of Fame player. And so the question is, how much money is he going to make? Because if you're looking at it, Mike, in the kind of projection, Scott Boras and all the reports early on say that the floor for negotiations, and this is jaw-dropping, 10 years, $500 million is the floor. And apparently could potentially surpass $600 million. Now, Shohei Ohtani's deal with the Dodgers last offseason, where he signed, you know, the 10-year, $700 million contract, that is all that money is backloaded, right? Like, right now, I think he's making $2 million for the Dodgers early on, but he's going to be getting paid tons and tons of money in the future from that franchise. I don't think Soto will quite reach that $700 million, but I think that it could absolutely surpass the $500 million floor, and we'll be talking about a gigantic contract for a future Hall of Fame player.
No question about it. And again, man, in New York, that's the battle where some people feel he'll be a Met, other people feel he'll sign
as long as he doesn't sign with the Dodgers. That's all I say. And Steve, our sports director, Steve Geller, a Yankee fan.
Oh, he's a Yankee
man,
fan.
I hope he, for your sake, Steve, that he stays in New York.
Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. I was just thinking about the draft. I know we're a long ways from it, but right now we pick eight. And I heard you guys talking about that Alabama quarterback. Listen, in all my years of following LSU and loving LSU, I don't care what team it is, I've never seen one player empty a whole LSU stadium like that kid. I mean, let's just say, for instance, we want to keep this offensive coordinator, whether you like him or not, whatever happens. But if we keep him, and I heard the reports that this is not a rebuild, we're just going to add more players, whatever, you know, it's the tomato to me. But the thing of it is, Taysom's going to be, what, 36 next season, 35, 36?
Yep, in that range.
Yeah, the kid, he's not that much of a thrower, but he could. I mean, I would love to see him 6'2", 232 pounds, taking Taysom's place at quarterback, and on certain plays, if we're going to keep the same offense that we presently have. Another thing is, I'm all for this guy from Jersey. First time I ever heard him talk, he sounds so much better. I like his enthusiasm. I don't know how long that's going to carry all into these next 7-8 games, whatever we got left. But the comparison, it's like Goma Powell to, You pick a great coach. I just like his enthusiasm. So I'm all for him, but the only problem I really have is, and maybe you guys can speak to this, what's the comeback? In other words, maybe because we were short of offensive players in the second half, they pretty much shut us down. And so, what are we going to have, with the guys that's going to be currently playing? We got wide receivers that are out. We got these two guys, Valgez Stanley guy. I mean, he looked good that one half, but they shut him out the next half. And the other free agent guy, he was halfway decent. I actually thought he was better during preseason than the guy we kept, the one we gave the 2-year deal to. But we're gonna need more offense. And Mike and Charlotte, what do you think about?
You got what you got, James. You got what you got at this point. There's nobody there that you're going to listen. Marquez Valdez Scanling. The thing with him is, somebody sent me my scouting report on him. He's like, Mike, you've never been dead on more about a player. And he was like this in high school, college. And then there's a reason Green Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo. He can look like that in one game, and then he'll have a couple drops. Easy catches. You drop it. He's got the size you're looking for. He's got the foot speed that you want. But he's inconsistent catching the ball. That's why he's bounced around this league. And here's my other thing. If Aaron Rodgers thought he could really help, why wasn't he kind of banging the table for him with the Jets? Because if he wants him, Woody Johnson would have got him.
He was out there. I mean, he was out there for a reason, and it was a great kind of debut performance. I know that he was signed the week before. He didn't play in that first game. It was a really strong debut performance for MVS, but as you mentioned, Mike, he's not someone that you're relying on consistently to be your wide receiver one, or he shouldn't be. But at this point, with the Saints wide receiver room the way it is, with Olave suffering that second concussion and then Shaheed out for the year, I mean, Cedric Wilson's missing time. It's just, what do you have there?
You got what you got.
You got what you got. You got Marquez Valdez-Scantling. You got Mason Tipton. I mean, that's really the biggest issue, I think, if you're looking at the second half of the season offensively.
Where's your playmakers other than Alvin and Taysom?
And they're not in the passing attack.
Nope.
Like, you're going to have to rely on the tight ends. You're going to have to rely on Marquez Valdez-Scantling being more consistent than he's been in his career. It's a little bit concerning.
Yeah, and to answer your first question, James, I think Cam Ward from Miami of Florida and Shedeur Sanders, they'll fight for the top spot.
Both go really early.
Those two guys, and it's a quarterback-driven league. And so even though you might not have them as the one or two, guy, that's where you're going to go with it. What's going to be interesting is the three spot, because I think right now I'd put Milroe there.
I would agree.
But there's always a guy that, for whatever reason, he wins the offseason. You know what that guy might be? Carson Beck, who's not played well at all this year.
I don't see it with Beck. And I was high on Beck entering the year. I know that we were both high on Beck entering the year.
But,
and
man, he's been inconsistent.
He's struggled.
He's really, really struggling with easy throws. I'm not talking about the hard ones. I'm talking about the easy ones. But we see it every year. Somebody that you say, man, he didn't play that well, but watch him make a move and at the most critical position, quarterback.
As far as Shador and Cam go, and then we'll hit the break here, Mike, is – just look at the teams that are picking in the top. Like, you have New York, who's desperate for a quarterback,
Giants.
And you have the Vegas Raiders, who are desperate for a quarterback.
1-2.
I think that's exactly what you're going to see. Shador goes to Vegas, Cam Ward goes to the Giants. It's a matter of which team kind of finishes first in the rat race, so to speak.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Mark Schlereff, who covers the NFL for Odyssey, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. And we're joined on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Finally, we got to drink from the winning cup this week as the Saints won in 2017. Normally, that score with Atlanta, normally they're on the losing side, but they end up with a W. My thing about it is it's rare that Young Wei-Koo has been a killer for the Saints. And, you know, three misfires from him. But the Saints defensively were able to close out a game. And that had really been a problem with this football team.
I tell you what, I mean, it's exciting, and I was surprised, obviously, like I think a lot of people were surprised. You got the new coach bump. Always loved Darren Rizzi. And I'm telling you one thing, you know, it's always interesting because I travel around the league and I call games and I have relationships with coaches and guys that you talk to. He's always one of the first guys I get on the field with because, you know, you come into the town, right? And you go to practice, and then you meet with the head coach, you meet with the play callers, right, both offensively and defensively. You meet with the quarterback, you meet with a prominent defensive player. And, you know, Rizzi is one of those guys that I always seek him out on the field on Sunday and just pick his brain about special teams, just pick his brain about football. And it's really interesting that he becomes the, you know, the interim head coach because, ultimately, I think one of the things that probably goes it's an unfair assessment, but it's just unfair. Special team coaches are really, really good simply because they have their fingers on everybody. Like, they have involvement with everybody on the football team. There's not a guy on the team that they don't have some type of relationship with, that guy doesn't do something on special teams. Everybody does. And so it's really interesting, you know, to see all the success that a guy like John Harbaugh has had. And to see Rizzi get that opportunity, and he's always so gracious with his time and his knowledge. And when I called the game one of the season, Carolina's New Orleans Saints, I probably spent 20 minutes with him hashing out the new kickoff rule, because he was one of the main, you know, one of the main guys who developed it. And so just is a great dude. I'm so excited for him to have that success. It's awesome. And, you know, obviously it's fun to win.
Mark, this coming week, it looks as though Eric McCoy is going to return to the lineup. For people listening, kind of break that down, because for me, Eric McCoy, players under 27 years old, he's the one guy that could start for any team in the NFL. If you had a great center, you could move him either left guard or right guard. He could start there. And I think having your captain up front who kind of sets the tone and is the communicator up front is so important in, I don't care if it's high school, college, or the pros, but especially in the NFL. I think it's the second hardest position to play other than quarterback. And I think it gets underrated when you lose that center, what it does to your offense.
Yeah, no, there's no question. I mean, you look at the downfall of the New Orleans Saints this year, and it's really their offensive line that got decimated by injuries. McCoy started, and then obviously, you know, your guy's starting right guard got injured. And so there's been issues up front. And listen, I don't care how quote unquote skilled you are, you know, how many good wide receivers you have. You know, if you can't control line of scrimmage, you do not win in the National Football League. And McCoy is one of those guys that is exceptional. The other thing is one of the things that normally happens in the NFL is the center position is challenged from the standpoint you got to snap the ball, right? You've got a snap hand, you've got an off hand, and it makes it a little bit harder to play that way because you got to secure the snap, shotgun, and all those things. So one of the things the NFL does all the time, or our teams do, is they walk up linebackers, they walk up A-gap blitzers, they walk people up, and they try to get 5 1-on-1s. One of the big things they try to do is isolate the center in pass protection, because a lot of times the center is not a very good pass protector, and his job is harder because he's got to snap the ball. So that's one of those places where teams will take advantage, especially when you bring in a backup center. And you see it time and time again throughout the National Football League. So it's just smart football is what it is. And so that has really been one of the big downfalls to 7 straight losses to the New Orleans Saints. To me, it's more than anything, is they lost players on their offensive front, on their offensive line. And the first 2 weeks of the season, man, they were protecting their quarterback. They were running the snot out of the ball. They were crushing people. And then all of a sudden, guys started getting hurt, and the result was they can't win. And that's a big issue with just with the NFL in general. And McCoy is one of those guys. He's just a damn good player.
Mark, like a cat with nine lives, the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, you look at Denver, Bo Nix gets them down there. It looks to be they'll finally get a loss. And they blocked the damn field goal. Now, it's good to be good, but it's good to be good and lucky. And right now, the Chiefs have walked this fine line almost the entire year of pulling games out like this, because most of their victories, man, it comes down right to the bitter end for it. That is really something to watch in the NFL, to see that occur like week in, week out, that you come up with a play. I don't care if it's on offense, defense, special teams, they find a way to win.
Yeah, you know what my dad used to tell me when I was a little kid? Luck has a smell of perspiration. And they just find a way to get it done, and that has to do with preparation and everything else. Now, I'm going to put that loss on and I talked about this on my podcast, the Truth Podcast. I'm going to put it on Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos, because the kid playing left tackle on PET field goal, a kid by the name of Alex Forsythe, has been getting his ass kicked for 8 weeks in a row. That dude gets rolled up more than anybody I've ever seen. I played left tackle on PAT field goal my entire career with the Broncos. 6 years there, I played right guard in Washington on PAT field goal. So I just played 12 years there as a guy standing in there taking it to the teeth. I can't remember one time getting rolled up and put on my back, and not one time. And it's a technique flaw. And that kid, you can go back 7-8 weeks. Every weekend he gets rolled up and put on his ass. And the fact that they never changed him out, the fact that they have, like, he is awful. I've never seen anything like it. And you can find the videos. They're all over the internet right now. It is week in, week out. I can show you the Raiders and the Chargers and the Saints and the Carolina Panthers. And I mean, everybody is – they're taking turns on this dude. They're just like – they're drawing straws to rush against him. And he gets put on his ass every single weekend. And how that dude still has a job is beyond me. It's – I mean, it's – in so – you, as a head coach, you lost that game. That's on you. And it sickens me because the Broncos, and I'll give you a number. You'll never guess what this number is. In regards to the last three games of the Chiefs and the Broncos, okay? Let me give you a number. The number is 2. Could you just venture a guess? The number 2, what do you think that is? Any guess? Either of you have a guess?
None.
Game winners or
game-winning
something?
Game-winning kicks that get blocked?
The Kansas City Chiefs, in the last three times they've met the Denver Broncos, have scored the sum total of 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
In 3 games. That vaunted offense with that incredible quarterback has scored 2 touchdowns in 3 games. The Broncos have kicked their ass. I mean, they have literally kicked their ass the last 3 times they've played, and yet in those games, the Kansas City Chiefs are 2-1. They've scored 2 touchdowns. It is unbelievable what they've done, and you can sit there and say, hey, is it a blueprint, right? Because what the Broncos did was what they've done the last 3 games. Man, they will lock up in man-to-man coverage. They will blitz Patrick Mahomes almost on every single down, and they got him to the point where he was skittish. Like, he missed – he was so sped up, he missed a bunch of throws. Now, I don't know how many teams can do that, how many teams can play that style of defense. And I would venture to guess not a whole lot. But the Broncos have their number, and to come away without a victory in that particular game where you essentially dominated Patrick Mahomes in that offense is upsetting, to say the least.
Man, and I got to give kudos to a guy – grew up in Louisiana, what Vance Joseph has done with that defense. Mark, I don't know that he may get another shot to be a head coach, but Vance know what the hell he's doing.
Oh, there's no question he's going to get a shot to be a head coach. And, you know, ultimately the first go-around here in Denver, he just didn't have really a chance. Like because he got hired as the head coach, but he wasn't given the autonomy to pick his coaching staff. So Elway only let him pick several coaches. Like, they made him keep guys. So he really didn't have the authority to truly be the head coach. And now that he's coached under Sean Payton, seen how it's worked, Vance is going to get another opportunity, deserves another opportunity, because that guy is coaching his butt off. And I've talked to so many players, whether it was his time in Arizona or in Denver or whatever, that have played for Vance. They love playing for Vance. And you see how hard they play. And remember, last year, about a year and two months ago, where they gave up 70 burger to the Miami Dolphins. And myself and a lot of people were going, you got to dump him. Like, that's awful, right? And then you look at what this defense has done since then. It's been incredibly impressive. So kudos to Vance Joseph, man. He deserves another opportunity.
Inside of Calls with Mark Slareff, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Charlie?
Mark, I remember we talked to you about this a few weeks back, the NFC North specifically, and how good that division was. And you had mentioned that even though the Bears at the time were 4-2, that you thought that they were kind of the distant fourth place team out of those 4 squads. And it looks like you're 100% correct. Ever since that game-winning Hail Mary that Jaden Daniels threw, it feels like the Bears are on a downward spiral that does not seem like it's going to end anytime soon. The loss this past weekend to New England, a lot of folks up in Chicago called it what it was. It was embarrassing. You scored 3 points against the Patriots. You get beat 19-3. And it was I mean, Caleb Williams gets sacked 9 times by a defense that had 19 sacks entering the game. And Bobby had talked about this last night when I was bringing it up with him. He's just like, a lot of those sacks are on the rookie QB. And like, you can't blame it all on the offensive line.
The majority, it's on Caleb.
Look, I know the offensive line for the Bears isn't very good, but at the same time, you know, the rookie QB takes some blame in that as well. But my question for you is, when is the spiral going to end for Chicago? Because if you look at their schedule, it's kind of quirky because 6 of their final 8 games are all 6 of their divisional games against the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, some of the class of the NFC, and then their other 2 games, just against, you know, the 49ers and the Seahawks. So I don't know, Mark. This is a 4-2 team that we could see potentially fall very, very far down to potentially 4-13.
Yeah, I mean, they're not playing well at all. Their rookie QB is not playing well, and obviously they fired their offensive coordinator today, and then they hire an offensive coordinator in I can't remember the guy's name off the top
Shane
of my
Waldron.
Head.
But it was from Seattle.
It was Shane was fired, Waldron, but the guy they appointed was the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers last year. Bobby Thomas, anyhow, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But so they fire Shane Waldron. They promote the passing game coordinator, who was the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers last year, who ended up getting dumped midway through the season because their offense was so bad. So that's the guy that's going to run your offense now. And your rookie quarterback is playing awful football. He's holding on to the football. He's not getting rid of it. He's not throwing it to his checkdowns. And you give up 9 sacks, and I'll just throw this at you. Like, the quarterback, the sack to me is more quarterback-driven statistic than it is an offensive line statistic. And the quarterbacks have to understand how to get rid of the ball, when to get rid of the ball. And the other thing is, it's also an offensive coordinator statistic. So if you give up 9 sacks, it's not your O-line that sucks. It's your quarterback and your play caller who suck. And so, yeah, they fire Shane Waldron, and I understand that. But, man, I'm telling you, like, they have purchased or they have built that football team. And I said this in the offseason. Like, the thing that bothered me watching film in college of Caleb Williams is his propensity not to get rid of the ball, his propensity to hold on to it, scramble around, and make a remarkable, ridiculous throw off schedule. Well, I'm just telling you guys, you can't live that way in the NFL. It's going to cost you. You'll make more mistakes than you make big-time plays. And that has obviously bared out with the way he has played football this year. But, I look at Ryan Poles, the general manager, and I said this from day one because people were all excited. You know, I mean, they had their panties in a wad over, hey, man, we've got Adunze, and we went out and got Keenan Allen, and we've got DJ Moore, and we've got Cole Kmet, and we've got, you know, Swift at the running back position, and we've got so many weapons. And I heard this time and time again. You do not build a team from the outside in. You build it from the inside out. And, you know, you get so excited about the weapons. I just know this. If you don't block people, none of those weapons can actually produce. If you don't control the line of scrimmage, you realize that it takes 10 other guys to do their job exceptionally well for a wide receiver to sniff a football. And so, like, we are so twisted, and I think it's fantasy football that has twisted us. Like, we are so twisted as fans about what wins in the NFL, and we all think it's wide receivers. How wide receivers have duped America into believing they're important is beyond me. They are the most of a sport that's completely dependent. They're the most dependent player in the National Football League. Everybody else has to do their job for them to have success. And it baffles me that America thinks we're one receiver away from winning a championship. There is no team that has ever been one receiver away from winning jack squat. And so we keep falling into the narrative. We keep falling into this belief. We have general managers that buy into this baloney. It is garbage. Absolute garbage.
Mark, that's where they, every year it's like 6-7 going round one, another 6-7 going the second round.
Because they don't want to pay them these exorbitant contracts.
But man, listen, use your early picks on linemen. That's how you win.
Amen.
That's how you win. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Mark.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. We were going to have Chris Dotson in this segment, but we've moved him now to 625. Chris does a great job covering the Pelicans for Clutch Points. So, hey, keep your dial tuned in because we'll get Chris at 625. Want to win tickets to the next Saints home game versus the Cleveland Browns Sunday at the Caesars Superdome? Score two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. Open bar with premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win tickets to the Saints when they battle Cleveland. From Dudley DeBosier, official lawyers of the New Orleans Saints, Saints Radio WWL. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing it up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Charlie, man, we got to talk about it a little bit last night because it broke right at the time we were closing up with second guest, but the death of John Robinson, former USC coach, also coached with the Los Angeles Rams. And I got to know Coach Robinson later in life. Coach O brought him in. He was a special consultant. And, you know, Coach O knew him from his USC time there. And they had a good bond. And Coach Robinson married somebody from Louisiana, married a young lady from Louisiana. So we got to spend some time together. Charlie, you'd have liked him. Man, he was so smart.
Yeah.
He told unbelievable stories. And the fact that you grow up with John Madden as your neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
And think about, man, they put in student body left, student body right, running the football at USC with Charles White, Marcus Allen. And those teams were loaded with talent. Goes to the Rams. They got to the NFC Championship game. Only one thing stopped them, the Bears. And like Coach Rob said, man, they would run us over. They didn't run by us. They ran us over. But a great guy in life, 89 years old. I had called him a couple weeks back. He was fighting a cold, got pneumonia. And so God bless him. What are the great guys in this business? We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.